Chapter 10. Psst. The sound woke me from a restless sleep.
Psst, Emma, wake up.
Still groggy, I lifted my head. At first, I felt disoriented, the cage and the drafty room unfamiliar and threatening. Then I remembered where I was and what was supposed to happen, and suddenly I was wide awake.
Emma, wake up. Vonnegut's gone. Hurry, I thought of something.
I'm awake. I blinked and looked up.
Finally,
said the bat, and she dropped like a stone from her perch to the stack of books on the shelf.
Lil,
I exclaimed, what are you doing?
I have an idea, she panted. I was thinking about your rash, and I remembered this book.
Stretching her tether as far as it would go, the bat tugged one of the books off the pile and dropped it onto the shelf.
There,
she said triumphantly.
I think that's the right one.
What are you talking about? I asked. How is a book going to help anything?
Open it up and take a look. If I remember right, there should be a great spell for getting rid of rashes.
The rash isn't my biggest worry now, Lil.
I know, but the book with a spell for rashes has a lot of other useful spells, too. I can't read, so I'm not sure if this is the right book. Go ahead, take a look.
But I can't, Lil. I can't do magic. I make a mess of it every time.
What are you talking about? All you have to do is read it. You can do that, can't you?
Yes, of course, but you don't know me. I can botch even the simplest spells. You should have seen what happened when I tried to clean my chamber using magic. My bed still makes itself, whether I'm in it or not.
It's up to you. If you'd rather lose your tongue than try...
All right. I get your point. I guess it wouldn't hurt to try. I reached for the cover of the book, but my arms weren't long enough to touch it. Even turning sideways and shoving my leg between the bars of the cage wasn't enough. I can't reach it, I said, stretching my leg as far as I could. Hoping to find something that I could use to extend my reach, I looked about my cage. There was nothing close enough to the cage that might be useful, and the only other thing inside the cage was Edric, lying on his back with his belly in the air and his limbs flopping at his sides in a most unfrog-like position. His legs were long, longer than mine, and if I could wake him... At first, I was gentle, shaking his shoulder, whispering his name and poking him in the ribs. But when that didn't work, I tried more enthusiastic means. Shouting his name just made him twitch in his sleep. Pulling his leg made him roll over. Finally, I tried lightly slapping his cheeks.
It wasn't me, Mother,
Edric mumbled, brushing away my hand.
I would never put a mouse in Nanny's ale, even if she did leave the room to use the privy.
I glanced up at the bat, who had returned to her rafter and was hanging upside down, watching me.
Lil, you said he would probably wake up today, but look at him. What am I going to do?
I suppose you could try the remedy used on those nitwits Snow White and Sleeping Beauty. I told you they were given the same potion, remember?
Right, I remember now. They were both princesses, and they were both broken by princes, if I remember correctly. And the princes both... Oh, Lil, I'm not going to have to kiss him, am I?
Only if you want him to wake up.
But I told you what happened last time.
I'd be real surprised if you turned into anything else now. But whatever you're going to do, you'd better hurry. You don't have much time here. Vonnegut won't be gone forever.
I know, but... Oh, all right. I guess even if we did turn into something else, it couldn't be worse than being a frog. I squatted beside him and placed my hands on either side of his face. It's funny, I said. He's finally getting his kiss, and all he had to do for it was oversleep. I was about to kiss him when something else occurred to me. Lil, I tilted my head to look up at the bat. If I kiss him and he does wake up, I'm not going to have to marry him, am I? I mean, both of those princes married the girls they woke this way.
You won't have to marry him unless you want to.
Good. I want to keep my options open. I kept my eyes open as well this time, thinking half seriously that that might keep me from turning into something else.
His lips were cool and smooth, just like the first time, and I had barely taken my lips from his when his eyelids fluttered open and he gazed up into my eyes.
"Well, hello there, beautiful. Is there something you want to tell me?"
Edric said, leering froggishly.
"What do you mean? I was just—" "Don't get me wrong. I like being kissed by beautiful young ladies. I just wasn't expecting it, that's all."
"I wasn't kissing you. I mean, I was, but it was only to wake you up."
"And I liked it. You can wake me that way every morning and put me to sleep that way, too."
Edric winked and reached for my shoulders. Pushing his hands away, I hopped to the other side of the cage, giving me space and the time I needed to explain. "I was kissing you only because you've been asleep since the day before yesterday. I warned you about that worm."
"But no, you had to eat a worm doused in sleeping potion. You had to sleep when you should have been trying to help me find a way to escape. I've been scared to death while you've been dreaming the time away, and it just wasn't fair."
"Emma," Edric began. "Never mind. We don't have time to talk now. The witch is going to be back soon to chop off our toes and cut out our tongues. Now get up and come help me. We have to look through this book, and I can't reach it. Do you think you could turn the pages?"
Edric looked thoroughly confused, but he didn't question me. With a long-suffering sigh, he struggled to his feet and hopped to the side of the cage. Crouching down, he stuck his arm between the bars, but it wasn't quite long enough.
"Maybe your leg," I said. I was overjoyed when his longer legs reached easily.
"What is it we're looking for?"
he asked. "Just turn the pages when I tell you to," I said. "I'll let you know when I find it."
"See if you can find the rash spell first," said Lil. "Then we'll know if it's the right book."
Edric turned around with a jerk, aware of Lil for the first time. Trying to look nonchalant, he leaned over until his lips brushed my eardrum.
"Who's the bat?"
he whispered. "She's a friend," I explained. "Her name is Lil. Now be quiet and let me read this." I studied the book of spells, concentrating on some while skipping over others. At my direction, Edric slowly turned one page after another until I saw what I wanted near the back of the book.
"Here it is," I said, pointing to a spell. "Rash rid. Rid yourself of that itchy rash in those hard-to-reach places."
Lil shifted nervously on her seat atop the stack of books.
"Try it. It'll be good practice."
"Do I just read this out loud, Lil?"
"Read it with feeling, Emma, and make big, dramatic gestures with your arms."
"Anything special?"
"No, no. Just be dramatic."
"All right. Here goes." I read this spell with as much emotion as I could, waving my arms and gesturing wildly.
"Red blotches, rosy bumps, itchy spots, scaly lumps, all you rashes here and there, under shirts and underwear, on the legs and on the feet. Don't look now, you're in retreat. Begone, rash, and never more irritate my tender paw."
Despite the closed windows and doors, a blast of cold air blew through the cottage. For the briefest instant, I felt prickly all over. I looked down at my leg. It was the same smooth green it had been before I got the rash. I twisted around to look at my back. It, too, was smooth and green. All the itchy bumps had disappeared.
"Good job," said Lil. "You know, that works for pimples and boils, too. If you were a human, you'd never have another blemish for the rest of your life."
"That was amazing! If these spells really work, this book is incredible. Look at some of these other spells, Edric. Here's one for skin softening. Says it will make your skin as soft as a baby's bottom. You can have the hair color you've always wanted with hair so new. This one's called Body Beautiful. It says you can eat what you want without gaining a pound. I wonder if there's a spell that would make me graceful."
"They look like a lot of useless beauty tips to me," said Edric. "How would any of these help us with this witch?"
"They're not all useless. Look, this could be a big help. Squeak be gone. Squeaky hinges squeak no more. How about grow right? Grow the biggest vegetables in the marketplace. Easy open.
open any container without breaking a nail. Listen, they're so simple. Using my normal reading voice, I said, unlatch, unlock, undo, untie, in the twinkling of an eye. Open ye lock, lift ye latch, remove ye block, release ye catch.
A sound like thunder shook the cottage. A tiny whirlwind twirled debris around and around the room. Then, with a pop, every container in the cottage opened. Lids flew off boxes, corks flew out of bottles, shutters swung open. The door to the cottage slammed back with a crash. The bat's tether twitched loose, and every cage opened with a whoosh.
Would you look at that!
Exclaimed Lil.
Lil, you're a genius! You were right about this book!
Ladies, the door is open. Don't just stand there talking, said Edric. Let's get out of here before the witch gets back. Look, there go some mice.
Clifford and Louise had wasted no time and were already crossing the threshold.
Watch out, Emma, called Clifford. Fang is loose,
shouted Louise.
I'd forgotten all about the snake, I gasped. Where do you suppose he is?
Snake?
What snake?
Said Edric.
There was a big snake in one of the cages. His name is Fang, I explained.
Of course it is, muttered Edric. What else would it be?
He's probably long gone by now, said Lil. He never was very sociable, so I doubt he hung around. I have to tell you, though, Emma, I'm proud of you. I knew you could do it as soon as you said you could read.
So why didn't you have me read that spell right away? What if I hadn't read it at all?
I wasn't sure which spells were in that book. I just knew that they were simple spells and that a couple might have worked one way or another. I've never read them myself. You're the first creature I've met who could read.
What about the spiders? I asked, remembering the smallest of Vonnebee's captives. Are they still in their cage?
They were the first ones out, said Lil. I saw them going down a crack in the floorboards.
What's that?
Squeaked Edric, pointing toward the fireplace, his eyes bulging even more than usual. Convinced that he was overreacting, I looked to where he was pointing. I must admit that if frogs could break out in a cold sweat, I would have done it then. Something still slopped around inside the barrel labeled trash can, but it didn't look any different than it had before. However, the lid had popped off the barrel labeled trash can't, leaving it open to the air. Three slimy tentacles writhed over the rim, probing the side of the barrel. I shrieked when another rose up and slapped the wall with a soggy squelch.
Dang, said Lil, fluttering her wings in agitation. Looks like Vonnebee's got herself two trash cans.
I gulped and whispered hoarsely.
You mean one barrel was called a trash can't?
Because the trash couldn't get out of it. But it sure can now.
Which makes it a trash can.
Yep,
said Lil.
Another reason we should get out of here as fast as we can. Look at those things.
Edric's lips crinkled in disgust when an unattached tentacle slid to the floor and oozed toward the table, leaving a slime trail behind it.
Let's go somewhere safe. He's got a point, I said. See you later, Lil.
Emma, before you go,
called the bat,
take this with you.
Lil flapped down to the shelf beside Edric and me. Wrapping a wing around the vial of dragon's breath, she dragged it to us.
Without this, she won't have any reason to look for other talking frogs.
But won't she come after us if she thinks we took it?
She won't know we took it if she doesn't see us with it, now will she? And she won't see us with it if we're gone when she gets back.
Edric grabbed the vial with both hands and dragged it to the edge of the shelf. I waved goodbye to Lil and followed Edric. Together, we jumped to the floor, then quickly hopped to the threshold.
Wait, I told Edric.
I turned back into the room and looked up at the shelf. The bat still stood where we had left her. Her head and wings drooped, and she looked so forlorn that I felt like crying.
Lil, aren't you coming?
I asked.
No,
said Lil.
I think I'm going to stay here. I've spent most of my life in this cottage, and I don't have anywhere else to go.
You could come with us, I suggested.
The bat's expression brightened momentarily. Then she shook her head and frowned.
It's no good, she said. I'm meant to be a witch's bat. It's what I've always been, and it's what I'll always be.
But she'll tie you up again.
Not in this cottage. Not after that spell. Nothing is going to stay closed or tied in here unless she finds another spell to reverse it. Now hurry and get out of here. I can hear her coming.
I hopped to the doorway and looked out. Although I could see all the way to the other side of the clearing, there was no sign of the witch. I don't see her. How can you hear her all the way over here?
You're questioning a bat's hearing? Asked Edric. If the bat says the witch is coming, the witch is coming.
Let's go. This thing is heavy. But I still couldn't leave. Lil, I called, Vonnebe isn't even a real witch. If you want to be a witch's bat, you can come live with my aunt. She's the Green Witch, and she's much nicer than Vonnebe. Come with us, and I'll take you to meet her. I know you'd get along wonderfully.
I don't know, Emma. Are you sure about your aunt? Maybe she already has a bat.
No, no bats. Only a small green snake who's free to come and go as she pleases.
Lil, please come, said Edric. She's not going to move unless you do.
All right, I'm coming, said Lil. But you go on ahead. I have to get something.
You heard her, said Edric. Let's go.
With his arm still wrapped around the vial of dragon's breath, Edric hopped out the door and into the clearing beyond. I hopped along at his side, turning around every so often to look for Lil. We didn't stop to catch our breath until we reached the tall grass. Do you see her yet? I asked. Do you see Lil anywhere?
No, there's no sign of the bat. But look there, the witch is back.
Edric, Lil hasn't come out yet. If the witch catches her...
Vonnebe saw the open door the moment she entered the clearing. With a shout of rage, she hiked up her skirts and ran toward the cottage. Even though we knew she couldn't see us, Edric and I crouched in the tall grass, our hearts pounding in terror. We saw Vonnebe drop her sack on the ground and dart into the cottage. A scream rang through the clearing. Moments later, Lil shot out of the cottage at full speed with the witch close behind. Waving her broom wildly, Vonnebe cursed and tried to knock the bat to the ground. When Lil pumped her wings and flew higher, Vonnebe gave up and hurled her broom away in disgust.
Then get out of here, stupid bat! I don't need you anyway, she shrieked, her face twisted in anger.
Clenching her fists, Vonnebe glared at the peaceful clearing as if it might give her the answers.
Who did this? Who freed my creatures and ruined my spell?
I guess she hasn't noticed that the dragon's breath is gone yet, I whispered. Vonnebe ran back into her cottage.
A blood-curdling scream rattled the window frames. I think she just noticed, said Edric.
Movement in the cloudless sky made me look up. It was Lil, zigzagging above the clearing as she searched for us.
Lil, over here, I called softly.
Turning abruptly, the bat headed straight for Edric and me.
As soon as she gets here, do you mind if we get going? Asked Edric. I feel a little conspicuous lugging this thing around.
Sorry, I said. We can go now. Lil swooped overhead and fled into the forest. We tried to follow as quickly as we could, but the vial of dragon's breath slowed our progress. It was an awkward object to carry and made hopping difficult.
Tell me again why I'm hauling this stuff around? Edric said. If we're just taking it so the witch can't use it, why can't I put it down now and leave it here?
Think of it this way, I said. This is the only container in the whole cottage that didn't open. It must be pretty strong stuff. We don't want just anybody to find it. And you never know, maybe we can use it ourselves someday.
Now you sound like my mother. I don't think she's ever thrown anything away in her whole life. If we start keeping everything we might use someday, we're going to have to build a wagon to haul it around. All I can say is this dragon's breath had better be worth it. And what's this about taking Lil to see your Aunt Grissina?
We have to go there anyway, I said. I'm not going to fool around anymore. This time I'm going straight to her tower at the castle. If she still isn't there, why, we'll find someplace safe to wait until she comes back. We know that the witch who cast the spell is dead, so Grisina is the only one we can ask. If anyone can help us, it'll be my aunt.
I don't think you realize how dangerous a trip to the castle would be. It's a long way from here, and even if you did reach it, the guards wouldn't allow you within the castle walls. Then, if you could somehow make it inside, the dogs would get you, or the servants would squash you on sight. Are you sure you want to do this?
I wish you'd have more faith in me. I got us out of that cage, didn't I?
Not because you'd planned it that way.
It doesn't matter, I said. It won't be any more dangerous for me to go to the castle than it would be to stay here.
For us, you mean, said Edric.
I shook my head. You don't have to go with me. You said you didn't want to talk to my aunt. She's a spell-casting witch, remember?
Edric sighed. If you're going, then I'm going too. I think this is a foolish idea, but I can't let you go on your own. I'll do what I can to protect you. Don't forget, I have an interest in your welfare. If Grisina is your aunt, she can't be all bad. And if she turns you back into a human, I want to be there.
So she can turn you back into a prince as well?
Edric gave me a lopsided grin. If she can. Besides, maybe I'll get lucky and you'll give me another kiss.